welcome to everyone tonight. If you're a guest with us tonight, we're so glad to have you service with us this evening. Praise God. Amen. You're watching us online, wherever you may be joining from. We welcome you tonight, part of this service. Praise God. Amen. I mentioned in the course of preaching, for sort of several reasons, we don't usually announce in advance that I won't be here, or my wife and I won't be here. Part of the problem with that is if we don't do that, then we miss out on your prayer support. So hopefully I'm your favorite preacher, but you'll still come to church anyway. But we're going to be with the Hemuses in Liverpool this weekend doing a marriage seminar. And so we would appreciate your prayers. And I think in 30 years of marriage, I think we actually had done three, I think it was around three marriage seminars. In 2024, this will be our third marriage seminar. So I don't know if it's about being 50, if it's about being married 30 years. I don't know. I guess somebody said it this morning. I guess people think we got something to say now. But amen. Thankfully, without anything unexpected, I'll be around for a while after that. And I do want to remind you that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we're going to have a spring revival. And as I said on the post a couple of weeks ago, the context of this is not you inviting people that don't know Jesus to come. Not that you can't do that, but revival is about us. Revival, to revive something, it has to have lived. And so I felt this several weeks ago, and again I think I've said this, but Brother Joe Campitella's name came up, and I, call me skeptical or whatever you want to call me, I thought, yeah, there's no way that's happening a month away. And much to my surprise, he said, I got those dates available. So I believe he's coming here in the will of God. And I'm encouraging you to please do what you can to be here those three nights. I believe God's going to speak to us. I believe God's going to work on us, work in us, work through us. And it'll be a part of furthering us in what God has for us. Amen. Praise God. I thought I had some direction for tonight and feeling something. And then I came to the Maryland, D.C. Youth Convention service on Friday night. I got a chance to do something Friday night that I rarely ever get to do. I got to sit by my son during church. during the leadership summit, somebody else was up doing something, and I did something I definitely hardly ever did with my own kids, and that was I got to hold James, and he got a little fussy, and I took him out. I kind of felt like a good old saint there for a few minutes. But anyway, as I sat there, what a powerful message was preached Friday night, and in the course of that, as Brother Galloway was preaching, he just kind of referenced something in passing, and as often's the case, just kind of stood out, and then I began to feel like it was actually what I was supposed to preach tonight. So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and as soon as you see this verse and we start reading it, you'll be familiar with it. But verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And again, if If you don't know this, I think it's important to say this. This really is not a prayer that's intended to be repeated. This is not about just some words you say. This is the pattern of prayer. Oftentimes, this is called the Lord's Prayer. This isn't the Lord's Prayer. I find two prayers the Lord had. One prayer that was the Lord's Prayer was, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest. The other prayer the Lord had was, Father, make them one as we are one. This is a pattern for prayer. And I'm not trying to take away from those that repeat it regularly, but that's not really the purpose of it. So I'm not really here to preach on prayer. I just think that's important for you to know. So after this manner, according to this pattern, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And everything in me wants to just break out and sing this last part. But I'm not going to do that. I can just hear it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And of course, as we know, when it's the Lord's Prayer, it is not amen, but it is amen. What jumped out at me the other night when this was referenced is verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to preach to you a little bit tonight on our daily bread. God, thank you for your awesome presence in this place. Thank you for the privilege of being in your presence with believers tonight. I know we can enter your presence on our own, but thank you for the privilege of being in your presence together. Thank you for the work and the ministry of your Spirit in this place. I pray that you would continue to work, that you would minister through your word. Pray, God, that you would let me be a conduit that you could flow through, speak through, minister through. Trust you, depend on you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you read this prayer, if you follow this pattern of prayer, it's pretty apparent, it seems pretty apparent that it's not really about tangible things. It's not really about natural things. The essence of this pattern of prayer is dealing with spiritual things. The establishment of His kingdom, His will being done, forgiveness, whether that's us being forgiven or that's us giving forgiveness and not being led into temptation and delivering us from evil, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all of those things are sort of supernatural, intangible things. Not that they're not real, but we don't see them, we don't touch them. And as Brother Galloway brushed over this verse on Friday night, it just kind of started churning in my spirit. In the middle of all of that, Brother Middleton, is this verse really simply about our natural daily provision? In the middle of all of this, did God really instruct us to pray for our daily provisions. I submit to you this evening that that is really not what he was saying. That's what I've heard all my life. Perhaps that's what you've heard, and I'm not better than anybody else that's preached it, but I don't really believe he was simply talking about you having food to eat today. I meant to say it's great to have Sister Holly Whittington and Ashton and Peyton in service with us, visiting. Amen. Is he really? That's really? I mean, I think we're supposed to pray every day. In fact, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, in your prayer closet or the prayer room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but prayer is supposed to be a part of your lifestyle. It's a part of, it's communication with God. That's not limited to a specific place. I personally believe there should be two kinds of prayer in our life. There should be some set time of focused prayer where you're not doing anything else, you're not involved in anything else, but you are praying. But then I think there also should be throughout your day communication and interaction with God. I've heard my dad do this for years, and now I find myself at times doing it. I guess he's rubbed off on me, if you will. But he and I were playing golf the other day. We've played golf twice now in the last couple of weeks. It's the first time in probably 40 years that he and I have played golf together, just the two of us. It's usually my brother or my boys or somebody else. And so, but even riding, I'll hear him as we're riding down the cart path, out on the golf course, he'll just go, "Thank you, Father." Because prayer, there should be an open line of communication. And so really, if we're supposed to pray regularly, then obviously I don't think you could ever overpray this pattern of prayer. And in fact, if you made it a part of your daily time of prayer as a pattern, and especially if you're learning how to pray, what a great pattern of prayer to learn to spend more and more time in prayer. But if God intended by chance, I mean the verse says it. The verse references daily bread. So if nothing else, the implication of that is this is a daily pattern of prayer. So was God really telling us that every day we need to ask Him for food? I think all we have to do is read a little further in this chapter, and it answers that question. Because in verse 25, Jesus continues on and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And some of us folks that are getting older, he uses to feed them. "Why do I spend money to feed birds? God said he would take care of it, but I do. Because every morning I love as the sun comes up and see those red cardinals that start to come and eat from my bird seed. Yes, I'm getting old, I know. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but it really wasn't just talking about your height. You study that out, it's talking about adding time to your life. How many of you, by thinking about it, can add days, weeks, months, years till you can't? "And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He may clothe you from Saks Fifth Avenue. He may clothe you from Goodwill. The promise is he'll clothe you. He may clothe you with hand-me-downs, but he said, I'll clothe you. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, here we go, here we go. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Some of the other translations basically say, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got its own set of problems. The hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. The aging folks hymn say, morning by morning, new pains I feel. And a whole lot of people's hymn say, morning by morning, new troubles I encounter. You might as well not worry about tomorrow. It's going to have some problems. But Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, and don't even worry about what you're going to eat today. So if that's what he says at the end of the chapter, we know Jesus wrote the chapter, so let me rephrase that. If that's what it says at the end of the chapter, did he really mean that every single day he wants you asking him to give you something to eat? Naturally. My kids are all grown and out of the house now, but 20 plus years that each of them spent there, never one day woke up in the morning and came and found me and said, Dad, I need you to get me food today. It was a given. It was a given that as the father, as the head of the house, their needs would be provided for. So why in the world would Jesus, in a pattern of prayer, say, I want you to ask me for food every day? When he goes on to say, I feed the birds. I take care of the lilies. And they're not made in my image after my likeness. If he'll take care of the birds that don't have a soul, I won't touch dogs and cats because I don't want to lose anybody. If he'll take care of those things, how much more should you and I have confidence that he will take care of us? So what is it he was saying to us in the midst of this prayer when he says, pray after this manner, give us this day our daily bread? Adam Clark says this, there is probably an allusion here to the custom of travelers in the East who were wont to reserve a part of the food given them the preceding evening to serve for their breakfast or dinner the next day. But as this was not sufficient for the whole day, they were therefore obliged to depend on the providence of God for the additional supply. In Luke 15, verse 12 and 13, the story of the prodigal son asking for his rightful inheritance, it signifies this daily bread. It signifies what a person has to live on. of that additional supply which the traveler needs to complete the provision necessary for a day's eating over and above what he had then in his possession. The word is so very peculiar and expressive, this word daily bread, it is so peculiar and expressive and seems to have been made on purpose by the evangelist that more than mere bodily nourishment seems to be intended by it. Indeed, many of the primitive fathers understood it as comprehending that daily supply of grace which the soul requires to keep it in health and rigor. That you're asking God for daily bread is not asking Him for actual food on your table. But God, you know what the journey is today. You know what lies ahead of me today. You know what I'm going to go through today. So God, I need today for you to give me sustenance for the journey. I need for you today to give me wisdom for what I'm going to face. I need for you today to give me some guidance on what I'm going to go through. I don't need what you gave me 5 years ago, but God, today I need some fresh bread. I'm not going to live off tomorrow's bread, but I need you to give it to me today. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It says that he said, it is written. Where was it written? It was written in Deuteronomy 8:1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And here it is, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth a man live. There should be a desire every single day. God, my soul needs something from you today. I need some daily bread, God. I need some fresh bread today. I need a fresh word. I don't mean it. Surely we don't need a fresh word every day of promise or God saying, I'm with you, Ivan, but God, I need something. I need you to talk to me. That bread today, it might be some bread that's bitter to swallow. It might not be appealing to my taste, but like that bread in the temple, that it may be bitter to the taste, but when it gets down to the stomach, it's sweeter, because my flesh may not want what the daily bread is, but my spirit is hungry. Boggles my mind how that none of us voluntarily go a day without eating. You go a day without eating, more than likely there is some kind of a very specific reason. We wouldn't. I mean, there are days it blows my mind. I can get up and start my day and get to dinner time and realize I haven't eaten yet today. All I got to do is decide. I'm fasting tomorrow. By the time my feet hit the floor, getting out of the bed, I am starving to death. My wife sometimes, she's like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go all day without eating. I don't know either. Just say I'm fasting and I need some. I'm going to die. I can go all day without eating, not thinking about I'm good, but as soon as I'm fasting, I don't know if I can make it. I need breakfast. I need breakfast in bed. I can't even get out of bed. How many of you would be content only eating 3 days a week? How many of you would voluntarily go 3 days every week? That's all you eat. The other 4 days you never eat. How tragic is it? How tragic is it that we would never think of doing that naturally? And so many people live that way spiritually. Actually, that's not even accurate what I just said. I said 3 days. I was thinking three services. 2 days. Some of you, the only spiritual eating you do is what somebody prepares for you Sunday and Thursday. I'm not here with the intent. I don't feel like the purpose of this message is to rebuke, but I wish it would stir up a hunger. I wish it would stir up a desire, not only for you to have the realization that, God, I need daily bread. Thank you for the word on Sunday, but I need some daily bread. Thank you for the word on Thursday, but I need some daily bread. But even beyond the recognition of the need is the fact that you have the access. Every individual in this room has the access for daily bread. God said, give us, Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Some of you are sitting here today, you came to church this morning, you came to church tonight, and you're getting your bread for this week. No, all you got was bread this day. How many times have you sat down at a meal and eaten to the point you were so, I know some of you never do this, pray for the rest of us. I don't do it most meals, but there's at least three meals a year. I sit down at the table knowing I'll need to repent for gluttony when I'm done. And I'm going to be miserable when I get up. One of those three is just over, is 2 weeks away from today. Easter dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and Christmas dinner are, and I don't waste my stomach room on those days with stuff that gets made all year long. I want that special stuff. How amazing for years now we do any holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas at my parents, it's without fail what's going to happen is as we're winding down dinner, My mom is going to say, is anybody ready for dessert? And my dad's usually going to say, yes. And the rest of us are going to say, no. As I have gradually slid further and further down in my chair to increase the angle, because 90 degrees is not comfortable anymore. And there have been a few times that I was ignorant enough to think, I don't need to eat again. In fact, I don't think I'll need to eat for the rest of my life. Except the problem is, I know what's in the fridge or I know what's in the kitchen for dessert, and so it's only a matter of getting to the point where the misery has subsided just enough that I can eat something and get right back to that point of misery. Truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you stuff yourself until you can't physically get another bite in, you are going to get hungry in a short period of time. Because God did not design your body to eat, and that's all you needed to do for days and weeks and months. He designed it that you needed continual nourishment and refreshment. The natural is an illustration of the spiritual. You should not be content to go days and days and days without some daily bread. And there also should be something inside of you that says, you know what? If there is daily bread for today, I want some bread today. God, if you've got something for me today, I want what you have for me today. Job said this in Job 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God, I want your word. I've got to have your daily bread for my soul more than I even need my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner. I've got to have some fresh word from you today. God, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16 says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. No doubt Jeremiah was in essence saying what was said in Deuteronomy and what Jesus would say in the future, that you don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you're going to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need some daily bread. If you're going to be able to make it through whatever trials you're going to face today, you need some daily bread. If you're going to make it through the ups and downs of life, you need some daily bread. If you're going to be able to enjoy the victories that God has, you need some daily bread. And you can have daily bread. I don't think, again, that he's really telling us he wants us to pray every day, God, I need food on my table. I suppose then why would he say with regards to my soul to pray it every day? Could it be that he said it because he wanted to be an expression of our hunger and desire? Can you go through the day? Can you spend a day and get through the end of it having not said, God, I need something. I need you to give me something today. And I'm not talking about, please hear me. I'm not talking about this in the context of, and you can apply it in the context, but I don't mean this strictly in the context of you're in need, you're in desperate, you're desperate. God, I don't mean that. I mean in the sense of, man, this is, I do things now that surprise my wife, I guess surprise my kids, they surprise me. 5+ years ago, you would have never found me in the kitchen doing anything but getting food or putting food away. And now I do stuff in the kitchen. I bake stuff, I joined in with my daughters and my daughter-in-law, and I now have a sourdough starter that I feed. We have a group chat, just the three of them and me. Nobody, not even my wife. My wife was away for a couple days this week. I'm home by myself. Of all the things I could be doing, I'm making blueberry muffins with my sourdough discard. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I didn't even know what sourdough discard was. Now I have some. And And then I knew better. I said I did all right. I made some sugar cookies yesterday, and I was experimenting with a little decorating of them. Wow, that's what I say about myself. Wow. What in the world am I doing? Who am I? What have I done with David? And I did so good. I've actually dropped a couple pounds. Apparently not enough because nobody said, hey, pastor, have you lost weight? But I actually have lost some. And I went through the day. And I ate, Brother Barr, was about a little piece off of one to just kind of make sure. And I did all right. And I made the mistake today of eating one. And I had to try to sneak back to make sure my wife wasn't listening or noticing as I got two, three. And then when I left, there was one that was basically bite size. If I hadn't started, I'd have been all right. You see, that's what God desires for to happen in you. You get some fresh daily bread. Man, that's, wow, that's some good stuff. Wow, I've never seen that before. I never thought of that before. I've never seen that from that perspective. So that then the next day, hey, you know, God, I appreciate yesterday, but yesterday's bread wasn't enough. I need some more today. I want some more today. I want some daily bread. You see, this principle is really, it started in the Old Testament with the children of Israel in Exodus 16 and 16. They're now in the wilderness on this journey. They've got nothing to eat, and God begins to miraculously provide. And it says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. It didn't just stink. It stank. As we said back in the 80s, it was hooping. That wasn't with basketball. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. God set a pattern for them in the wilderness. I want to feed you every day. I want to provide something every day. I want to provide something fresh every morning. I got fresh manna every single day. Is there anybody here tonight that you've got a hunger that says, God, I need some daily bread. I need some bread for today. I don't just need some bread for today. I want some bread for today. I've had this thing for years. Used it a few times here and there. But you know what, Brother Middleton, about the last 14, 16 months, every time I get out my Bible in the morning to do my reading, I get out this book. I can't tell you it happens every single day, I'm expecting. God, when I get done reading your word this morning, there's something. There's a thought. There's a nugget. It may be something that's a thought that I end up preaching one day. It might just be a simple thought of something you're just giving me. Can I share with you a few of the daily bread I've gotten? Just Jesus and I. You want to know the way to preserve a relationship? You can look at 1 Samuel 20 and 23. The way you do that is to keep the Lord in the middle. When He is there, there's no room for bitterness, hate, etc. I don't know, that might just been a little bit of bread for me that day. But it was some daily bread. I got some daily bread a while ago that David's concern was building God's house, and as a result, God established David's house. Just some daily bread. I know you all expect that. That's norm for me because I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. I need to get it. That's not why I'm getting it. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because first and foremost, I'm a saint. First and foremost, I'm a child of God, and I've got the same needs that you have. It has nothing to do with a pulpit. It has nothing to do with preaching, teaching. God, I need some daily bread. I got this one, Brother Middleton, this one helped me. When the Shunammite's woman died and she came to Elisha, he had to ask his servant, what's wrong? I feel like my gifts are always supposed to be working. I'm supposed to know. I'm sorry if you're going through stuff and you're just counting on God telling me before you get help from me, you may not get it. But guess what? I'm all right with that now because the great man of God, he said to his servant, go find out what's going on. Maybe that's not daily bread you needed, but sometimes I need that because the pressure and the responsibility that I feel and the role that I do have is that God's supposed to be speaking to me and telling me everything, but guess what? God's put some people around me that they can find out or they may know. God's got people around you that He can use for you. Well, this was some daily bread I got the other day, and it changed some perspective on some things for me, and that is Aaron's family. Aaron was the priest. He was the high priest, and his family was the family of priests. And I know Old Testament, I know New Testament, we are a family we are all kings and priests, but I think there's still some principles that we can take away from that. And some of my daily bread a couple weeks ago in Leviticus 10 was the fact that Aaron's family was blessed by his service in the tabernacle. This isn't the main reason why I do it, but that just gave me a fresh motivation. God, I've already served you, but I'm going to keep serving you because, God, I want my kids, I want my daughter-in-law, my sons-in-law, my grandkids. God, if through my service you'll bless my family, it's not the only reason why, but it's one of the reasons why I'm going to keep serving you, and I'm going to serve you as best as I can. I got some daily bread a couple of weeks ago. There was some times I said this, shared this with the deacons a week or two ago. There was at least one time where Moses goes to God complaining about the people, frustrated with the people, wanting God to do something about it, and God didn't really do anything about it. But then God gets frustrated with the people. God gets tired of what the people are doing. And God comes back to Moses and says, you know what? I'm going to wipe this people off the face of the earth. And Moses says, hold on, God, wait a minute. Don't do that.
That won't be good. You do that, God, and people are going to speak wrongly of you, and they're going to wonder why and what and when. And so I got to realize, and you know what? I might get frustrated with some of you. So, not actually, I never get frustrated. But I'm challenged by the fact that if God gets frustrated with you and God comes to me and says, you know what, I'm done with this one. I'm going to get rid of them. I hope and pray that I can do like Moses did and start chewing on some daily bread that says, hold on, God, wait a minute. Don't do that yet. Let there be a little bit more mercy. Let there be a little more grace. I'm just sharing with you just a couple of things in my daily bread, not to sound braggadocious or whatever, but I hope to stir up your appetite that God does not do that for me because he is a respecter of person, but God desires for you to get some daily bread straight from him. I got to tell you, I don't want to disillusion you. I hope this will help some of you. I don't feel like most of the time when I come to church, I do not leave saying, boy, I felt the presence of God tonight. If you do every time, God bless you. I don't like you. I remember going through some times in my late teens where I was struggling because I just didn't feel like I ever felt God. I'd pray and I'd spend time in prayer and I'm like, I just don't feel. In fact, Jalen sent me a video clip a couple of months back that was an evangelist, some of you, Dennis Lewis, I think was his name, back in the Orange Auditorium. This used to be that, on just without the second floor. And he called me out and prophesied to me, and it really was... It was kind of connected, but I can remember having a conversation with his wife, Brother Middleton. I don't even know how it started, but telling her that fairy, I just don't feel like I feel God. I watch and I've grown up in this. I've watched so many times. We need some fresh blood because it seems like there's always at least a man or a woman that every now and then they have one of them fits. Shaking all over the place. For a long time, this used to be one of them. We don't need him doing that anymore. He can't handle it. I've watched ladies who with their hair up start shaking under the power of God and bobby pins start flying and hair going everywhere. And I'm like, what about me? I don't really see him do it a whole lot anymore, but for decades growing up and well into my adult years, I my dad, he'd be preaching along. He had this thing every now and then. He'd have this. Get this little shake. I've tried sometimes to just start it, hoping God will take over. That was more so my Fiddler on the Roof movement, not my Holy Ghost movement. Don't mishear me. I'm not saying I don't ever feel the presence of God. But something that happened, Brother Middleton, in that season was I started to make up my mind, you know what, God? I actually don't want to become a feeling junkie. I don't want to reach the point where I got to feel something to have faith. I've got to feel something to know that I've got a relationship with you. I've got to feel something to know you're there. I'm not saying I don't want to feel you, God, but I want something that supersedes feeling. Can I tell you what supersedes feeling? It's some daily bread. It's getting some daily bread. It's not going to be the feeling that gets you through the test and trial. details. It's not going to be the goosebumps that sustain you. It's going to be God going, I know what the journey holds today. I know what the journey holds tomorrow. And so if you'll just seek me for it, I've got something for you today. We all know, most of you know, what is it? How was it that Jesus overcame the temptation in the wilderness? Most of you are saying it. Somebody say it a little more confidently. The Word. The Word. And how did he apply that Word? It is written. I don't know why I've never done it before, but I did a concordance search. And do you know that the phrase "it is written"? Prior to this, I would have told you if you would ask me how many times it was in the Bible, I would have said at least three, because Jesus said three times to Satan, "It is written." I might have guessed a few more to just be safe, but anybody know? Anybody want to take a guess without cheating? How many times "it is written" is in Scripture? How many? 80. Did you just look or did you already know that? Did you say 80 or 8? 80. 80, however you know that, 80 times. Was that right? Not five, 80 times throughout Scripture, it is stated, it is written. What's going to sustain you is, it is written. What's going to give you the strength to hold on is, it is written. And not what is said from the pulpit. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." What word somebody else has hid in their heart is not enough for you. You've got to get it in your heart. You've got to put it there so the Spirit of God can quicken it to you when you need it. If it's throughout Scripture 80 times, and if Jesus himself, God manifested in the flesh, if his response to temptation was not just to spout off any old thing, but to say, "It is written." God, I need some daily bread. I need something fresh from you today. I need a fresh word. I need a fresh word of wisdom. I need some fresh understanding. I need some fresh sustenance today. Here's something else I noticed as I reread these verses today. I don't know why this has never stood out to me before, but watch this. This is one of the many reasons, not the only. Not even saying it's the main, but it's one of the many reasons why you need your own personal knowledge of the Word of God. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I literally cannot ever read that verse without pausing to comment at least for a moment. How did he fast 40 days and then get hungry when I can't get out of the bed because of hunger on the first day? I don't understand. It has nothing to do with the message. It's just And when the tempter came to him, he said, I'm in Matthew 4, now verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he, Jesus, answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. First temptation. Verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Don't go to the next verse quite yet. I saw something today in this next verse that has never stood out to me before. Jesus is tempted by the devil, and he says to the devil, it is written. Now watch this. The devil takes him to the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. The devil is still speaking. It is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Here's the problem. If some of us were Jesus and Satan had said that to us, we'd be like, okay, let's go. It's written. He wasn't wrong. He was right about what was written, but he was wrong about the context. He'll give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus responds, and you know what? He doesn't say it this way, but just permit me the DSW translation. Jesus responds and says, you know what, devil? That is written. But here's also what's written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you're not careful, all you may hear is the enemy say what's written. And when you find out what he said is written, okay, let's go. Sometimes you got to come back on the enemy when he tells you what is written and tell him what else is written that trumps what he says, because what he's saying is out of context. Really, some of the basic reasons why there's false doctrine. Because it's something that's simply taken out of context. If you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Context. I preached it the last two Sunday mornings. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So all you got to do is confess your sins and he'll forgive you and cleanse you. Context. He was talking to people who had already been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit of God, because he was addressing saints. It is written. I believe my personal opinion, and others have a similar opinion, but it is my own opinion that I live by. I believe that the King James Bible is a very good solid resource. And that it needs to be, in a lot of ways, the frame of reference that we use. But the King James Bible is not divinely inspired. I saw a clip on Instagram several weeks ago, and the guy wasn't joking. I wish he was, but he wasn't. He said, I believe the King James Bible can be used to correct the Greek and the Hebrew. In the world? What kind of dumb statement is that? The sad thing is, he was standing on a platform. He looked like he's in a pulpit. If he made that statement and everybody didn't get up and walk out, there is a problem. Of course, it boggles my mind some of the stuff people don't get up and walk out over. I say all that to say, I'd be the first. That's why I don't know. I know some people don't like it. Actually, I've gotten a little feedback. Some people don't like it, but oh well. I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God and trying to be who I'm supposed to be, the way God has made me. So that's why oftentimes I read a couple of translations. So I challenge you tonight. Well, Pastor, I just have trouble reading the King James Bible. Get another translation. I've told you, and I'm not suggesting this one because it's extra wordy a lot of times. But all of this year so far, may have even started at the end of last year. I'm doing all my morning Bible reading in the Amplified Bible. Puts things in some terminology that's a little more understandable to us. You know what? Don't get caught up on the translation. Get the bread. Get the word. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. You've got the right, based on the pattern that Jesus gave us, you've got the right to ask and expect, God, I need something today. I want something today. I want you to talk to me today. I want you to say something to me today. I believe God talks to us, just talks directly to us. I believe He can do that. I'm confident He does that to me at times, and I know many of you He does that. But I'm going to say again what I've shared that happened several months ago as I was praying once again. God, I want you to talk to me more. I want you to speak to me more. God, I want to hear from you I want to hear from you more. I want to hear from you more regularly than I feel like I do. And like He just impressed upon me and was like, how much more can I speak to you? How much more accurately can I speak to you? I don't know. Maybe you get it 100% right every time you think God speaks to you. I'm sorry to tell you if it disappoints you or disillusions you, but I don't think I get it right every single time. Sometimes I think God was talking to me, and time proves it that apparently He wasn't, or maybe He was, but it was just for a different reason. But I'm going to tell you, every time you open the pages of the Word of God and you begin to put that bread inside of you, you can have absolute certainty. God is talking to me. This God is speaking to me. God is feeding my soul. God is feeding my spirit. I don't think I've done this a whole lot yet compared to how much I could have, so humor me for a moment. But James is now in that stage of beginning to eat solid foods. And there's, you know, as you're beginning that process, and we went through it four times with our kids, but as you're beginning that process, in the beginning stages of that, you almost kind of have to force feed them because they're not used to those solids. And then you do the whole airplane thing and the motorcycle thing and all this stuff to get them to eat. Grow out of that. You reach the point where you don't need somebody enticing you. You don't need somebody to try to get you. I don't know when. I know it's not, especially since I had four or five cookies already. I know it's not good for losing weight, but I haven't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I don't know when. So I'm going home, get me two of them tonight. Why eat one when you can have two? I don't need somebody. My wife's not going to have to try to coerce me into eating those. I have an appetite. I have an interest. I have a desire. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If you give me, Brother Dowdy, when they were here a couple weeks ago and we were trying to figure out where to feed them after service, he's like, where do you want to go? What's your preference? I'm like, you want my preference? My preference, if it was my preference, we'd just go home and get peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but we need to take you to a restaurant. So, I'll tell you something. If you haven't reached the point yet where there's something inside of you that says, God, I know I need some daily bread. But God, I'm past the point of just needing it. Lord, my appetite is such that I want it. I want some daily bread. And I know sometimes it's not going to be pleasant to swallow, but I know it's what's best for me. So God, I'm asking you to give me today my daily bread. You don't need to worry about God supplying your needs. He promised He would do that. He promised He would give you food to eat. But what you need to work on is stirring up that appetite, that hunger, that desire that says, okay, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And also, by the way, I need something to eat today for my soul. I need something that's going to sustain me. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want you to stand. I didn't, of course, if it's what God wants, then I don't need to apologize for it anyway. I didn't come tonight to try to preach the message that Brother Galloway preached Friday night. Again, all I know is that when he passed over that verse, I just couldn't get away from it. How many of us, maybe you already had this revelation and I'm just catching up, but how many of us have spent our walk with God thinking oftentimes of that part of the Lord's Prayer in strictly a natural daily context? God, I need natural sustenance today, so give me my daily bread. But ultimately what it is God wants you to learn every day. Every day He's got some daily bread. I don't know if they still do it. I know at one point Panera, at the end of the day, they'd gather up all the leftovers and they'd go find people that were in need and give it away. I wonder, Brother Barr, if God goes around at the end of the day clearing off the shelves in heaven a bread that was made fresh for people that never took the time to say, God, I need some daily bread. I need something from you today. I believe in the importance of preaching. I think you ought to know that. I believe in the importance of teaching. Give my life to doing those things because I believe they're important. But I don't think that's more important than you learning how to get your own daily, fresh supply bread. I don't know if we'll go past this at this moment, and if you feel to do otherwise, I'm not going to stop you from it, but just right where you are. Would you just talk to the Lord for a few moments, whatever particular application of this may be coming to mind. Maybe it's Maybe you need to ask the Lord to stir up your hunger. God, give me a hunger for some daily bread. God, don't let me be content to go through my days and not have daily bread. Maybe it's a commitment that, God, I'm going to give myself to getting some daily bread, spending some time in your word, allowing you the opportunity to quicken to my spirit. I've said it many times before. I'll say it again. When it comes to Rhema, that can be through a prophecy. It can be through somebody giving you a word. But I believe the most accurate, the most reliable Rhema that you ever get is when God takes something from the Logos, something that is written, and He quickens that to your spirit, and that becomes a fresh utterance for you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray that you would give us a fresh hunger and a fresh desire for daily bread, Lord, a fresh word, sustenance for today. You know what the journey holds each day. You know what's needed each day. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
This is my
daily bread, Lord. This is what I need for my sustenance each day.
This is my daily bread.
Your very word, your very word. Spoken to me. Thank you for preachers. Thank you for teachers. Thank you for deacons. Thank you for others that share the word of God with us. Thank you for those that minister the word of God to us. But don't let that ever substitute you speaking your word to us directly. Quickening your word to us. In the name of Jesus.
I'm lost
without you. I'm lost without your word. You know the Bible. Most of you know this. You know you can't separate Jesus and the word. You can't separate God and the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. I can't make it without you, Jesus. I can't make it without your word, Jesus. Oh, yes.
I'm desperate before you.
I've got to have you. I've got to hear from you. I've got to have your word in my heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I need it to get me through this day. I need it to get me through what I'm going to face tomorrow. I need it to get me through what I'm going to face in the coming months and years. It's the daily bread that you give me, God, that's going to get me through.
I'm desperate for you.
It's the daily provision that's going to sustain me, God. In the name of Jesus.
This is the air I breathe.
In the name of Jesus. If you kind of get down, you kind of dig down into the Greek words there, as the commentary I read really kind of touched on it, but it's basically talking about the sustenance that you need for that day. I've mentioned this, I know, at least once, perhaps a couple of times now from the pulpit, and I've mentioned it in other settings, but somehow I came across this guy who is in the process of attempting to run cross country. He started in Los Angeles. He's trying to make his way to New York. At this point, he's about 2 weeks in, averaging around 60 miles every day. Got this small camper motorhome that travels with him. I've seen a couple of times them making breakfast. The other day they posted a video. They were making pancakes. And on each pancake, they were putting about 4 or 5 Oreos. I think he's done that numerous times now as a part of his breakfast. Do you know what I would look like in a couple days if I was eating pancakes with 4 or 5 Oreos on each pancake every day? Y'all wouldn't be saying, "Pastor, you lose weight?" Y'all be going, "Pastor, you okay?" See, that's not the sustenance I need, because I'm not putting out that much energy. He ain't gaining a drop of weight. God knows how many calories you need based on what your day is going to be like. He knows how strenuous in advance what you're going to face. And He has provided. It's just a matter of whether or not you decide to avail yourself and ask for what belongs to you. It's available. Some days you don't need quite as much. Get through that day, and other days you need some pancakes with Oreos. Whatever it is, He has it. Whatever you're going to face, He knows the strength and the energy that you need, and all you have to do is say, "God, give me today daily bread." We sing that chorus again before we go. I'm desperate. You know what I feel like's been happening this last few moments? There's some souls, some spirits that are resonating with what's being said. No, not your flesh.
I'm lost without
not your flesh, but something inside of you is connecting with the word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord. And
Your innermost being is saying, yes, that's what I need. That's what I want. I'm desperate, God. I'm desperate for fresh daily bread from you. Thank you for what you may provide me through others. Thank you for the preaching and the teaching and the ministry of your word through others that feeds me. But God, I've also got to get it for myself. I got to access it for myself, God. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for that daily bread that comes from you alone, Lord. I'm lost without it, Lord. In Jesus' name. 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 Jesus' name. I think that there are some things, and I've probably done this. I'm not trying to point fingers, but I think there's some things in all of this that we've overcomplicated some. We've made it way more difficult, way more mystical than it is. So if God is not speaking to us, what book, what chapter to go to, then we just don't do it. Can I give you a practical? If some of you, I know many of you probably don't need it. You're already doing what I'm preaching, but you're here tonight and you're struggling with this and you need a practical application. Let me tell you a great place to just start. Just go start with Psalms 1. Just start reading through the Psalms. I mean, essentially the very first Psalm, you kind of get a summary of what I just preached tonight. But man, there's some stuff. I've referenced it. I referenced it last year when we went through some of the Psalms. You see some humanity. You see David and others that wrote the Psalms. You see them. One moment they're on the mountaintop with faith and confidence and God can do anything. And the next verse, God, where are you? How come you, one verse, God's got me. God's going to destroy my enemies. And the next verse, God, where you go? My enemies are about to destroy me. That's daily bread, Pastor? Absolutely. That's some good daily bread to let you know that when you're on a mountain of faith and the next thing you know you're in a valley of doubt and fear and worry, you're in good company. Just keep walking. Just keep trusting. Just keep believing. Father, I pray that your word would find good ground in our hearts tonight, that it would stir up a fresh hunger and desire, a passion to have, to get some daily bread from you, Lord. To not be satisfied to just live off of one or two spiritual meals a week. But we would be desperate. We would be lost without you if we don't get it for ourselves, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Please, again, keep us in your prayers. We leave Wednesday evenings. Keep us in your prayers as we travel. You'll be in our prayers, and we look forward to seeing you all in a few days. God bless you. In Jesus' name.